Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yo, what's happening? How you doing today? Good Monday. What is up? Deacon's here to hear. And we're coming to you from our Rocket Mortgage studio. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can come in. We'll hit it all for you. Big week. I love this week. This week is awesome. As we get for the major conference, there's been some so far, but all the major conferences, the championships leading up to Selection Sunday, it's just such a spirited week and amazing. This is exactly 1 year ago this week is when the world began to spin in a very different, very frightening direction, but we continue to climb out of it. And it's funny because, you know, the imagery, and I've said this a few times, but the imagery, the last game, last college basketball game was St. John's Creighton. And I was in the Garden that day. It was March 12th. And I'm getting all these notifications, the ACC, the Big Ten, the SEC, the Pac-12, all the major conferences, you know, canceled. And I'm doing the pregame show with my partner, John Minko, a New York radio legend. I'm like, what are we doing? He's asking me for keys to the game. You can find this. Like, it's on the internet, obviously. I was out of my mind. I was just dumbfounded. I'm like, well, I'm going to actually give you the three keys to the game when we should, like, we should not even been in the building. And, of course, for some reason, they played the first half, which was bizarre, and then halftime it was canceled, and all these painful, especially early, when you were terrified just to go to the grocery store. I mean, I was telling my in-laws, there was a point, I mean, like many of you, we have been incredibly diligent with this and vigilant, and you can be both and still get the virus, but I remember like when we would order pizza in like March or April, and like even into May, the box would come. It would be on our porch, obviously. And then Jen, it was hot, piping hot. But then Jen would put it in the stove to kill any germs. You just didn't know what to do. So, man, aside from this being an awesome week just for what we have to look forward to, it's also a reminder of where we've been. So we're not out of it yet, and I'm not here to preach, but boy, we are moving in the right direction, which is great. Teak is off. He's beaching it up. He's back tomorrow. So my boy Jerry Ferrara, usually when Teak is out, I like to get Jerry Ferrara on for a little bit. Entourage, Power, you know, Jerry, gaming star, all over social media. He's a great dude, huge sports fan. He will join me at 4 Eastern and 4:20. So two segments, 4 Eastern and one Pacific. So we'll get with Jerry on that. We'll get to the Nets with Blake Griffin. We'll get to the All-Star game in a moment. And, you know, I didn't be honest with you. I did not anticipate doing a lot of golf today. And I'm not going to do a lot of golf, but I've got to carve out a segment. You know, I watched a lot of Arnie's event yesterday. And, you know, we've always had these discussions, and it's odd now because of the car accident with Tiger. But, you know, what does the PGA Tour do to combat its Tiger problem, meaning, you know, eventually Tiger's going to go away, and who knows, maybe he never plays again, though Teak and I both think he will, just based on his spirit. Watching Bryson DeChambeau, I mean, honestly, it is a phenomenon, and I'll get into this more thoroughly in hour two, 4:40 Eastern. You can make the case that on a lot of levels, it exceeds what Tiger brought to the table, not in terms of talent. I'll explain. All right, All-Star game. Listen, here's what I'm not here for. I am not here to bash the All-Star game. I'll just tell you what we did in our home last night, and I want to make some interesting historical comparisons with the All-Star game. Maybe a few recommendations. Listen, the easiest thing for me to do would be to get on the air and lament no defense. You know, I mean, all these three-point shots, it's a glorified layup line. It is. I don't know what else you expect. If you, especially at this point, with the money these guys make, there's no incentive. Like with baseball, remember that ridiculous experiment? You know, oh, the All-Star game, home field advantage for the World Series. One of the dumbest things I've ever seen. You're not going to have that for the NBA. Oh, if Team LeBron or Team whatever, it would be odd now. Well, it would be almost impossible because they're mixed, the rosters. But if it was like, you know, Team West wins the Western Conference champion, host Game 7 of the NBA Finals. No, we're not going to go down that road. There's not enough monetary incentive for these players to try to incentivize them at the risk of being redundant to play defense. No, they're never going to play defense. So here's my recommendation when it comes to the All-Star game. Either watch it or don't. All right. And what we did last night, and there are certain aspects of it that I really love, and my kids are young, and I remember what it was like for me getting into the All-Star games. I've talked about that a lot on the air. You know, if you know me, you know that I'm very sentimental with everything, but especially and specifically to my sporting background. You know, what made me such a devout sports fan and ultimately, you know, want to pursue this as a livelihood. It was those snapshots, the images as a kid, the sneakers, the dunks, the three-point shot, you know, Bird hanging up his crooked index finger. When he won. So listen, I'm not here to denigrate it. We watched and it was obviously different this year. The dunking contest was at the half, whatever. That's kind of lame. I'm not really a big fan of that. But the skills contest, you know, even Kenny Smith said it. Like they're going at 40% speed, and it's such an easy thing. I mean, you dribble through cones that you do at basketball camp when you're nine. Then I guess getting it through the circular, you know, the chest pass, that's not even Luka missed the first one or two. I mean, anybody can miss that. It's not like it's a layup. And then you dribble down about 70 feet, make a layup, which literally is a layup, and then back the other way for the three-point shot. All right. It's a good primer, right? And, you know, my little guy really enjoyed it. And watching it through his eyes, I really enjoyed that, even though it's redundant and it's not incredibly taxing on the player. I'll always love the three-point shootout. Like, to me, that is cool because there's an urgency. You got the timer. You got the best shooters in the game. Steph Curry back was a great bonus. And I have always loved the player intros. I love it. And, you know, I allowed the kids last night to stay up, you know, past nine. And they're young. My little guy's in kindergarten. My daughter's in nursery. Because you know why? He wanted to see his guy Randall. He wanted to see the Knicks represented last night. So there's no way I'm going to deprive him of that. Now, the actual game, and full disclosure, once I said, all right, bud, you know, and my daughter fell asleep on me, which was great. And once it was time, all right, pal, now it's getting a little bit late. It's absolutely time for bed. Daddy will record it. You get home from school, you watch it. Which he's doing right now, shooting hoops, actually. I flipped it off. I had no need to watch it at that point. I didn't even watch the dunk contest. Like, to me, the dunk contest, and again, this is not me ripping it. This is just me telling you what, as, you know, a 40-something-year-old dad, you know, what I find interesting and what I don't. And for me, you know, the dunks they're boring. They're boring. You know, I'm just not that into it, you know. And I'm not going to force myself to watch something that I don't find interesting, just so I could get on the air and say, oh, did you see that, you know, reverse tomahawk windmill, whatever. You watch the dunk contest, you watch it. You don't watch it, you don't watch it. And I'm not going to pretend that I did. I didn't watch it. But in totality, again, this is not a bad thing. In totality, I enjoyed, you know, what the NBA presented last night. And then I was like, okay, now it's time to go watch Megan and Oprah and I guess the former prince. What are we calling him now? That interview, I watched some of that. My wife was all into it. I stepped in. By the way, I walked in the room. You would have thought that I came in with like party streamers and banging on. Shh, shh. What? What are you watching? Then I got into it, so I can understand why she wanted silence. It was a good night for the NBA. Let me just take you, though, because this I find interesting. So last night, D-Cell, I know I sent you the note on Slack. Last night, there were 133 three-pointers. So it's either a three-point shot, both teams. It's either a three-point shot, an attempted alley-oop, or an uncontested, you know, layup at the rim. Now, again, it is what it is. It's 133 three-point shots. That's fine. That's fine. That's the way of the game, right? But I went back, just sake of comparison. I didn't go back to the 80s. I went back to 2000, all right? In 2000, the 2000 All-Star game, there were 40 total in the entire game. There were 23 by the East, all right? And there were 17. The Western Conference team only took 17. Jason Kidd had six. The great Kobe, may rest in peace, Kobe Bryant. Mamba took four. And Gary Payton. Hey, is Gary Payton coming on the show today? Gary, you there? Gary took four, right? The East took 23. And Marksman, I mean, led by Ray Allen, behind Steph, the greatest of all time, and Reggie Miller, each took six. So between Reggie and Ray Allen, that's 12. And Jay Kidd, that's 18. I mean, that's roughly half of the entire allotment of threes taken. Now, I say that, yes, to show a contrast in style, but also ask this question that there's no answer to until we actually get there. What will the 2040 All-Star game look like? Think about that. So in 2000, there were 40 threes attempted. 20 years later, there's 133. Where are we going in 2040 or 2030? And, you know, I know that this is going to sound crazy, but will it stun you? I can't believe I'm going to say this and present it as a semi-serious point. Will it stun you when somebody pulls up from the other foul line? Just in a normal half-court set. I don't mean, you know, time ticking down, the inbound, got to let it go. Oh, off the back. Oh, he nails it. No, no, no. First quarter, you know, a relatively innocuous game in, I don't know, January. The Pistons are playing the Hawks. Well, it would probably be Trae Young. And somebody pulls up, for whatever reason, as the trend and the distance away from the rim gets a little bit more pronounced by the day, right? And now what happens, everything's a copycat league. Think about when the Buffalo Bills were doing the run-and-shoot offense. What happened? Everybody said, oh, man, we need a piece of this. This is great. We got to spread this. We got to open this. We got to open it up. We're going 4-5 wide. Let's go. You know, no huddles. Let's chuck it 40 times a game and let's roll. And the NFL is now what we have, you know. You still have to run the ball to, you know, to milk the clock, final 4 or 5 minutes. You need that tough yard or two, get the first down. All right, cool. But you're throwing a ball. You're throwing a win. And in the NBA, watching last night, and this is not me, though I prefer, of course I prefer what I grew up with, or maybe a hybrid. I don't know if I need 40 threes combined. That's not many. But I wish it was somewhere in between. I wish there was an element of hand-checking a little bit, not where it's so suffocating that you can't move, because I'm not in the business of stifling the greatest athletes in the world. You want to give them the room and the space to do their thing with their ungodly talents. But, you know, I mean, my little guy's watching this last night. He just turned six. And, you know, we have a hoop out front. It's a little bit too chilly now, but he's got a hoop in his playroom. Yeah, he actually messes because he's trying to dunk now, which he can't yet. But he's trying to mess around with some layups. But every time I walk in, he's from across the room and he's flinging it. And it's a pretty big playroom. So, you know, every CYO kid, every little guy or every little girl with their mom and dad in the backyard, you don't start with the layups. You let it fly. Let me shoot a long one. And then that gets further and further and further and further and further away from the rim. And again, I'm not taking a knock. I'm not taking a shot. It's a different experience. And I know it's not for everybody. It's just not. So, D-Cell, you are. I like to get the age check on this to make sure I'm not missing the mark too much, all right? So, D-Cell's in his early 30s. 32, right?
32.
32. Good age. Good age, 32. 32 is a good age, although 32, I didn't have a ton of money in my pocket at that point, but 32 is a good age. You know who you are for sure. You're entrenched in your profession. in your case, you're married. You've got some great things coming your way. 32 is a good age, man. Still have your hair. Things aren't sagging yet, so you're feeling pretty good. But do you I know you watched the first half. We were talking before the show, and you heard the comparison to 2000. I mean, last night, it is tough to watch that for 3 hours. How do you invest, even if you love the wide openness and the range of today's game, how do you watch 3 hours of a glorified three-point exhibition?
I always go into All-Star Weekend now saying that I'm not going to watch because of what it's turned into.
Okay.
I grew up absolutely loving the NBA All-Star Game.
It was
by far my favorite.
Yeah, me too.
So I can't help but turn it on.
Uh-huh.
I watched the first half, and you have to just take it for what it is now.
Yep.
Can't get upset. It's turned into something that is a complete exhibition, and you know what? That's okay.
Yes.
But that's the only way you can get through it.
Yeah, I agree. If you go in there with an expectation that it's going to replicate a regular season game, which, by the way, there's not even a lot of urgency or defense in those games outside of the final few minutes, right? So it's an unrealistic expectation, and that's why I prefaced all this with saying, listen, guys, there's not anything that is worthy enough incentive to get these guys to, one, risk injury, two, tax their bodies unnecessarily. And even if, I guess those two are kind of the same, but, you know, you don't need guys to go out there. What did LeBron play, 13 minutes? You don't need to play a ton of minutes. Whatever he played, 14 minutes? I don't even know. It wasn't a lot. You go out there, you know, do your thing, acknowledge as, you know, as one of the true icons of the sport of all time. You got to be on the court. And he was. And that's it. Then you sit aside and let the young bucks do their thing. But I'm seeing it, I'm reading things today. People who are in the business, by the way, doing what I do, offering suggestions, and I guess they were serious, trying to come up with ways, devise plans to make the NBA All-Star Game more competitive. Stop wasting your time. It's unnecessary. First of all, it's a fruitless endeavor. Never going to happen. And to D-Cell's point, and to my ultimate point, it doesn't need to happen. Take it for what it is. 20 of the best athletes, whatever it is, like 20 of the best players in the world. I was going to say, you can't literally say the 20 best players because some of the best ones didn't play. KD, AD, etc. A couple of the young guys got hosed as well, and that'll rectify. I don't know if these are necessarily the absolute 20 best players in the world, but for last night, the symbolism behind that and the uniforms they had on states that they are. So just take it. Soak it in, admire the tantalizing gifts, and, you know, when you get tired of guys shooting 33-footers, click the channel like I did. It's all good. Now, this I don't get tired of. This I find very interesting. Coming up next here. Oh, boy. Oh, man. I tell you, we need a villain. Every sport needs a villain. You know, for years, the Yankees were the villains, right? The NBA is somewhat villainless, even at their apex. As much as we were jealous of the Warriors, it was organic outside of KD. It was tough to hate on them. Like, you like Steph. You like Clay. You got to respect Raymond's grip. Like, you didn't dislike the Warriors, right? Maybe LeBron a little bit, pairing up with AD, maybe getting a cheap one, if you will, last year. But now we've got a full-fledged villain, and they reside in Brooklyn. Blake Griffin. Oh, who's next, you know? We'll get to that coming up next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, what's up? Good Monday to you here. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Going to be a fun week. Going to be a lot of juice, some buzzer beaters, some bid stolen, I should say. Selection Sunday coming up. That's great. Next hour, Jerry Ferrara, my buddy's going to join me at the top of the hour, 4 Eastern, and then he'll do the 4:20 segment as well. So we'll have a good 30-minute chunk. He's a huge NBA guy. Speaking of the NBA, put this up on my personal Twitter page. Short and sweet. Just want to get a sense of who was watching what last night. Did you watch the NBA All-Star Game? And right now, just put it up. Small sample, about 500 votes. 65% say not at all. 29.5% say patches. And only 6% say every second. Doesn't surprise me. I thought maybe not at all might be a little bit lower, and patches might be a little bit higher, but that's a pretty healthy percentage against not watching any of it. But, you know, again, small. It's early, so if you want to give it a vote, Go check it out. That's on my page. All right, so I told you about Jerry. I want to do something on Bryson DeChambeau next hour. It is there is now a gap that is being filled by DeChambeau that on some level Tiger didn't even hit at his apex. Guys are going to want to hear this. I can't wait to get to it. But let's get to the Brooklyn Nets. The Brooklyn Nets. The same Nets team, right, that played my entire life, forget about childhood, up until a couple of years ago, you know, in the most, I don't even know what the word is. I used innocuous in the first segment, so I don't want to use that word again, but just, the arena was just bland. It had no history. I think when I was a kid, it was the Brendan Byrne Arena. And then it was like the Izod Center. One of these places that has nine names because none of the sponsors are really happy with the return for the bang for their buck because nobody's really going, quite frankly. Now, that's not to say, give you a little history lesson here. That's not to say that the New Jersey Nets, and I'm not even talking about Jason Kidd and obviously Kenyon Martin and Jefferson and those guys, Vince Carter. I'm not talking about those guys. Those guys were terrific. Two finals appearances way before that. I mean, they had some players. They had Buck Williams, who was a beast, wound up playing for Portland later, played for the Knicks as well. Great rebound. One of the great rebounders of all time. And they had some good players. I mean, they really did. But Otis Birdsong was a guard I remember seeing as a real young guy. Good player. Mike O'Korin, Mike Jaminski. A pretty good team. Stan Albeck, right? I believe they beat Philly. Well, they definitely beat Philly one of those years, 83 maybe? No, 83 Philly won the championship. I guess it would have been, maybe 82 or 84. They beat a Philly team they weren't supposed to beat. Point being, even with some good players, right, the place was, just empty. It just had no buzz. And as a young boy who couldn't wait for my dad to get home with both New York newspapers, I mean, the Nets got nothing. The Knicks could be the worst. Sometimes they were. I mean, the Yankees could be a circus. And a lot of times when I was a kid, they were. The Mets were a doormat most of my childhood. Horrendous. The Nets got 1/50th of what those teams got, right? The Jets, awful. The Giants were bad in spurts. The Nets were like, well, the Nets were next to like the comics. Right before the movies, right next to Family Circus cartoon sketch. That's how irrelevant the Nets were. And now it's all different. Now they're in Brooklyn, right? And now the Nets are cool. They got sweet uniforms. Their court's pretty tight. Their arena's pretty cool. You know, KD said, that's the place I want to go play. Brooklyn's cool. Yeah, it is cool. It is cool. You're right. Kyrie Irving, I want to play with my guy, Kate. That's right. Here we go. Brooklyn. All right, James Harden. Get me out of Houston. I want to go play with those guys in Brooklyn. All right. Okay. And now we throw Blake Griffin into the mix. And here's what it happened even without Blake Griffin. But here's what has officially happened. Now the Nets, and this is so good for the NBA. And I know Net fans will take this from the Knicks guy, jealousy. Yeah, I wish I had those guys on my team. Sure. I wish I could win a championship. Absolutely. I'm not going to hide that. This is not coming from the Knicks guy. This is just coming from a sports caster who's objective when he needs to be, which is really all the time, even though I got my teams. I'd like to think I see things pretty clearly, right? You have to hate the Nets, and now you have to root against the Nets. I don't care who they are playing. The Nets now must become the villain, and that is good for business because when there's a team that you hope listen, not everybody, now most people loved Mike Tyson, but not everybody loved Mike Tyson. But those who didn't love Mike Tyson, why did they watch Mike Tyson? In the rare, unforeseen possibility, somebody clips him on the chin and puts him on his back. Hello, Buster Douglas in Tokyo, right? There are just situations, not everybody loved Tiger Woods. Honestly, I know he's revered now, and he's softened, and he's humanized, you know, with the issues with his ex-wife and multiple car crashes and, you know, battles with pills and degenerative back and multiple surgeries. He's become a figure that you want to elevate rather than maybe have jealousy kind of twisted, which it did for a lot of people. But you still watch Tiger hoping that that guy who was teeing it up on the final round next to him, who we all knew had no chance, somehow you were rooting for that unknown Bob May, for that guy to somehow beat Tiger Woods. You know, Rocco Mediate, who was game in 08 when Tiger beat him on one leg going into the Monday at the U.S. Open. So these are stories that we need. This is what sport needs. If everything was the feel-good, you know, happy Golden State Warriors, even before Kevin Durant, that changed it for sure. It changed it more for KD than it did for the Warriors. But Steph, I said this before, how do you not like Steph Curry? How do you not respect Klay Thompson? How do you not respect and in a lot of ways love Draymond Green's throwback tenacity? Like, these are things we lusted. Oh, remember back in the 90s when Charles Oakley would do this or this guy would do that? That's Draymond Green. So how do you not love that? You know, if you're pining for what was, you got to love that. But now the Nets enter the equation, and they give us something that we need, which elevates the sport and makes watching them a must. Because you have to watch, because they could drop 150 on you. They could. And they will. Before this year's over, they're going to hit 150. Maybe more. And now with Blake Griffin bought out, about $8 or $9 million in the buyout, goes to the Nets, and now it's just this compilation of guys currently in their prime, all-time superstar, transcendent league figures, and Blake Griffin, who's a notch below that, obviously, not nearly what he was. But here's the thing. I'm talking about the emotional stuff, how you now watch the Nets, because most of you will root against the Nets because you don't want to see it. You don't want to believe, and I agree with this, you don't want to believe that winning a championship is that easy, that there are shortcuts out there that are that easy to latch on to. Let's see. A couple of years ago, we were in New Jersey, and you know this middling, just obscure, irrelevant NBA franchise, even with intermittent success, but still, totality, irrelevant. Never saw anybody wearing Nets gear, right? You didn't see the Nets too often on national TV, outside of that J. Kidd era that I referenced before. So that was an anomaly. They went from that to, whoa. Who the hell's going to beat the Brooklyn Nets? And that is powerful. That's tangible stuff. That is what we want. Because we're not going to get it in round one, whomever they play. Well, I still play my Knicks in round one. Whomever they play in round one won't be up for the challenge. They'll get the floor wiped with them. They'll just be a doormat for the Nets. Round two, depending upon the matchup, depending upon if that team makes a move before the deadline, right? Like if another East Coast team, Eastern Conference team picked up Drummond, even though I think he's going to wind up with the Lakers, but I don't know, I'm just throwing something out there. Say if the Celtics got Drummond, at least you can say it's interesting if the Celtics get their act together, which I'm not so sure that they will. But when you get to the conference finals and then ultimately the NBA finals, and I don't see how the Nets don't get there, I mean, you've got something now that is, it's a powerful pill. You flip on that TV and you're either waiting for the show or you are openly rooting for them to just fall short, to choke, to lose, you know? So that it shows that the best route is the organic one. Or maybe not the best route because this is the shortcut and this might be the best route. The most rewarding route, there you go. The most rewarding route is the organic one, where you do your due diligence as a franchise, where you show that great draft acumen, like the Utah Jazz. They draft Spider Mitchell. They draft Rudy Gobert. They pick up Ingles. They pick up this, Jordan Clarkson, who was a kind of a cast-off. They've got a coach who's been there 8 years, Quinn Snyder. Like, that's the organic way. That's the incremental way. Will that win a championship? Probably not. No. So you're almost better off taking the shortcut. But this is crazy. And, you know, as we get the update from Mac here in a second, Blake Griffin's going to be fine. Don't tell me, well, he can't dunk. It's been 2 years. I understand that. Blake Griffin with the Pistons, when he was playing, was put in a position to do things his body simply could no longer do. Now, Blake Griffin becomes I don't even think he's the fourth option, because that's either DeAndre Jordan, more specifically Joe Harris. The guy might be the fifth or the sixth option. And even a diminished athlete, which he is clearly diminished, that's why every old boxer got to watch that one shot, that one great fight. They can, you know, they can harness it for one night. Got to be careful. You just never know. One great pitcher, even think of Clemens might not be a great example because of the PEDs, but somebody like Greg Maddux, even an advanced stage, you know, an older Tom Seaver, they can summon something that's kind of a throwback to what they were. And there'll be a couple of nights this year where Blake Griffin looks like he's one of the best players on the court. That's coming. So nice job by the Nets picking up somebody who will help them. Yes, he's not the same. I don't think that matters. Doesn't need to be. But now we all join in unison, and this is where it gets fun. We root against you. We root against you, and we root against you with vigor. Like there's like the head, like kind of sitting on the couch, like you click, yeah, I'd like to see this team, whatever. Now I'm talking about when the Nets are in an important game, right? A swing game, 2-2, game 5, conference finals, NBA finals. You are on the edge of your seat watching and rooting, unless you're rooting for, but rooting earnestly against them. Shortcuts, we don't want to believe that that's the way to go. We'll find out if it is. All right, let's get the update from Ack. Ack, did you watch any of the All-Star game, yes or no?
No.
I didn't think so. Ack's update is now. We'll come back. We'll get to the to inbounds, out of bounds. Jerry Ferrara, I know he watched it. We were talking about it on text last night, so we'll get to that with Jerry. Jerry's going to join me for 40 minutes and later, but right now it's Ack's turn. Here's the update, Rich. All righty, Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio here. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up in a moment. My guy Jerry Ferrara. Yep, that Jerry from Entourage and obviously Power and many other things. Jerry's going to be with me a good 40 minutes, so he'll check in around 4 o'clock and hang most of the hour. First, before we get to inbounds, out of bounds, time to ask the pros, where we give you a chance to ask today me anything you want. So drop us a tweet, send it to @CBS Sports Radio. That's @CBS Sports Radio, and use the hashtag Ask the Pros, and we'll take the best one. I'll answer it on the air right before end up the show here, give you some props on the air as well, and we will go from there. So give me something to chew on, something good, something to think about. We'll have a little fun. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guarantee low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, so on this Monday, we're connecting the dots from the NBA All-Star Game into the second half. Blake Griffin, it's a big story. Drummond's going to be next in all probability. The Lakers, we'll see. We'll get with Jerry. Jerry Ferrara coming up next hour. Want to do something on Bryson DeChambeau. What he did this weekend was astounding, just astounding. I mean, the PGA office has to be smiling right now because they're filling a void I never thought they can fill. And how about this? Would you trade Kyler Murray for Deshaun Watson? We'll get to that as well. But right now, inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports, and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, D-Cell, what do you got, buddy? First of all, you feeling good?
Let's do it. Feeling great.
Ooh, he sounds ready. Go ahead, pal.
All right, here we go, BT. Like Von Miller is a surefire Hall of Famer, but the Broncos star missed the 2020 season with an injury and then ran into some legal trouble this offseason.
Yeah.
However, over the weekend, the district attorney involved in the case announced they would not file charges, though the allegations are still unknown. Miller is entering the final year of his deal, and the team would save over $10 million if they cut him. But GM George Payton expressed his desire to retain Miller.
Now, we want to bring Von back, and we're still working through that. And I don't want to get into, you know, everything, but we want to bring him back. And obviously the legal process, what he's going through, you know, it's a serious, you know, situation, obviously. And you know, I don't know all the details, but we respect what's going on. But, you know, we do want Von back.
Inbounds or out of bounds, BT, the Broncos would be better off cutting Miller rather than keeping him.
I would say out of bounds. And first of all you need to do is just deduce from that statement there by the GM that they're working on a restructuring of a deal. So in a lot of ways, it kind of offsets the question, because I don't think it's going to be as simple as cutting him and saving $10 million, or renegotiating and trimming some money off and maybe saving $3-5 million. I do think he's going to be back with the Broncos, provided he's okay with reworking the deal a bit. And, you know, when you look at their op, they've got to address quarterback. And we know they're in there whenever the Texans decide to answer the phone. Probably the first person, a first team calling them will be the Denver Broncos. A few others, too. But, you know, Denver's going to be all in. They got to upgrade quarterback spot. You know, Drew Lock is, he's got a good arm and he's somewhat interesting. But they've got a lot of weapons. They've got a lot of play. Cortland Sutton's coming back. I was reading something on him over the weekend, you know, working his way back from the knee injury. They've got players, and Teak and I talk about their offensive, you know, weapons all the time. So you get the right quarterback, there you go. You have a fan favorite and a guy who's still a good defensive player, if no longer great. I believe that Miller will still be an asset, and I believe they'll find a way to make this work financially for both parties.
Are you in or are you out?
As we enter the second half of the NBA season, the league is battling a few issues with teams hit by COVID. So far, 31 games have been postponed due to COVID protocols, and the Raptors have been hit hard after multiple coaches and players tested positive. Now, however, Commissioner Adam Silver said the league will not have another bubble like last year.
I don't rule anything out, just because one thing we've all come to understand over the last year is that the virus is firmly in charge, and so we need to adjust to circumstances as they present themselves. But as I said in response to the prior question, I'd say maybe for the first time in the past year, I'm fairly optimistic right now.
So inbounds or out of bounds, BT, the NBA should have another postseason bubble.
I say out of bounds. I think that's a very sensible approach by the commissioner. You acknowledge the severity of the virus. You acknowledge the fact that we don't control the virus for the past year. It's controlled us and really altered how we live and what we do. But you also rely on the data, and you realize that, you know, vaccinations are out there every day. More and more people are getting vaccinated. Players will have access to that very soon. You know, I don't know, you know, the whole aspect of herd immunity. I mean, who knows? It really is crazy, because to think, and I started the show this way. So this week a year ago was when it really launched. Now, it was here before that. We just didn't quite know to what extent. And then Rudy Gobert tested positive. Everybody pulled the plug, and we've had the year that we've had. But if you look at all the trends and all the numbers since then, I mean, who knows how many of us were exposed to it and just were asymptomatic. So you and again, I want to stay in my lane. I'm not a doctor, obviously. I'm not a scientist, obviously. But you look at the incremental increase in vaccinations on a daily basis, the fact that everything is trending in the right direction in indoor venues. I heard today in Chicago, the Cubs and the White Sox are going to have about, I think it was 20% capacity. Now, that's outdoors to start, but, you know, most of the NBA venues, there's people now, smaller, you know, small numbers. I'll be at the Big East tournament coming up this week. There'll be about 1,000 or 1,500 people there. Again, a minuscule number compared to the main seating chart there, but there's no reason to commit to it now. If you have to adjust, we'll all understand why, and let's pray that that's not going to happen. I'm with them, and I do not think that they should have this unless they have to, and God willing, we won't have to.
Are you in or are you out?
Last week, a bombshell report revealed that Les Miles was banned from contacting female students while at LSU back in 2013 after multiple allegations of sexual harassment. Now Miles' current team, Kansas, has placed him on administrative leave, which could be the first step in firing him, though his attorney calls the move, quote, disturbing and unfair, since the school, quote, performed thorough due diligence before hiring Coach Miles, end quote. So inbounds or out of bounds, BT, Kansas should fire Miles, even though these actions occurred 8 years ago at a different school.
This one's inbounds. This one is inbounds here. I understand what the lawyer's saying, and you know, legally speaking, it's a pretty good precedent to lean on here. What he's saying is, whoa, before you hired him at Kansas, you vetted him thoroughly, and based on something that's surfacing now that you didn't find, you're reacting to something that somebody else found when you didn't find it? So I understand why that doesn't seem congruent necessarily in the eyes of his representation. But, you know, I saw something today on ESPN Outside the Lines. They did and quite frankly, I changed my answer based on what I saw on TV. When I saw this earlier, I initially said, because I'm not a fan of just canceling somebody based on charges or innuendo I'll never be a fan of that. It needs to be now. If you want to take somebody out of the situation before you fire them, as you soar through it, oh yeah, then that's certainly a sensible thing to do. But you know, it was a pretty poignant piece on ESPN and what they have in terms of emails. I mean, there's a lot there. So just because Kansas didn't find it the first time, doesn't mean that they shouldn't and can't react to what has been uncovered or at least put out there for public dissemination now. Les Miles will never coach another practice at Kansas again, let alone a game. I believe he's absolutely done. And based on what I saw today and then what I read after it, I believe that that's the right thing.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
One of the other questions, we just kind of ran out of time there, but Deion is 2-0. Nice win against Grambling, right? Jackson State took it. I saw the highlights over the weekend, and, you know, Mike and Deesa wanted to know if I believe that Deion can be an elite Power 5 coach. I don't pretend to know Jackson State's football history. I know it's not incredibly promising, otherwise Deion wouldn't be there if they were in winning hands, so to speak. But 2-0 is great. They kind of got, I don't want to say they got lucky, but that last game was pretty crazy inside the 5-yard line. And I guess there was a fumble when Grambling was going in for it and they recovered and it was it. So good to see Deion doing well. Listen, I thought Deion should have gotten the Florida State job. I was on the record with that. I said it on the air. I think that Deion Sanders, now, as long as the ego's in check, and, you know, I hope it is. I didn't like how he handled himself the first game with that press conference, which superseded the team accomplishment. All right, you got some things stolen. I get it. I'd be pissed off, too. Jewelry, cards, watch, I hear you. And there was an issue from the school. What really happened? Was it misplaced? Did somebody steal it? All right, I thought that was the wrong way to open your initial press conference after your first game. I thought it diluted the achievement of the young men, which I didn't like. But if Deion's really in this coaching biz long term, and I said from day one, I believe he is. I think he's got so much to offer these young men. You get the right staff. How do you not recruit some of the best corners and safeties in high school? Deion Sanders walks into your crib with a letter of intent to go play wherever. How do you not follow Deion? So, yeah, I think he actually could be an elite Power 5 coach. This is great for his chops, tighten up his game. And it's a good start for Deion. Jerry Ferrara is going to join me, my buddy, next. Couple of segments, talk some hoops. Jerry next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.